The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
And I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7 and go out to motivationandmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Our 30-day program, the top 10 has been all redone. You got 10 paragraphs, but you got 5 bullet points per paragraph. Same way with our 30-day program. It's the first time I've taken a conventional lift and built it with a lift in the power rack. All we need is your email address, strength times power equals success, and the winner's circle. Right now, we're giving those away for free. All you have to do, once again, is lend us your email address and be part of our family forever here for the next 30 years. Also, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend John the Rockman Johnson on here today, and we've done a number of shows with John. Obviously, we'll be putting up another new one in the next week or so because I've got to get others up prior to that are sitting there. As I said before, we got more content than anybody out there. We don't BS around with anybody. You want to learn some stuff that goes for young, middle, older people. We've got them all here. John knows, he works with his son, obviously. I've got young kids here. We're building a group of people now, especially the younger ones. We want to hit them as hard as we can right now because the world isn't the way I like it. Maybe it'll never be, but in the meantime, we can build real caliber young people coming up into adulthood, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, there's plenty of people out there that would love the opportunity to better themselves. You're all welcome here, believe me. I don't care what you do. We want you to come in here, be part of our revolution and family. Like I said, John's on with us today. You can find John, especially out on Facebook. He's a stone lifter, personal trainer, and he's really an outdoor fitness enthusiast. If you've seen any of this stuff, the guy, I'm not out in the woods, but we share a big thing together. We love to be outside. And this is what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Cold water dousing, which is John Brookfield made it very famous. If you've read anything by him and Milo, obviously I've read a lot of things over in Russia. Where they'll do that, or they will jump into stuff that would probably make your whole body just clam up tight. Real interesting stuff, and we're going to get into that. And we're also going to talk about winter training because it's starting to get very cool. John's up in Buffalo. I'm here in New York. It was pretty cool this morning. I think it was 24. It's going to get up to 65 today. But the cold weather's coming. We had snow the other day, if you could believe that. I welcome it. I love it. So I've got no problem with it. And these are topics I love to talk about. So, John, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for having me again.
You are welcome. Love to have you. Websites, anything I missed, give it out, and we'll get into the two subjects of what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, yeah. I don't have a website up right now, but I have the Iron Cross Training and Fitness page on Facebook. And I also have a nutrition page called Moringa Lifestyles on Facebook as well.
Okay. Dousing, very interesting stuff. I want you to lead off. Tell me, because I've had quite a bit of experience with it, but I'm not going to rain on your parade. I want you to come in. Why is it very important? What got you into this, and what are the benefits? Let's get into that, because I'm sure there's not everybody in our family has heard this, so take it away.
All right, yeah. Most people think it's nuts.
I agree.
Yeah. When I first started doing it, it was through my martial arts training. I found a website, which I just reconnected with recently, Mayans Martial Arts, and they had a segment on outdoor water dousing and how to get started with it. And my first thought was, who in their right mind is going to go out in the snow and dump water over their head?
Exactly.
But, yeah. But I started doing some further research on it, and not that I'm an expert by any means, other than through my own experience. But I decided to give it a try. I started out, we're going back probably 15 years or so. I started out doing it in the shower. And
yep.
What you do is, you slowly turn the water cold, or my favorite way to do it, after my hot shower, I just crank it up to ice cold, and I'll sit there and let that water run over me. Now, the reasons why I do it, I mean, there are health benefits, but one, there's only two things that really get your lungs to make it inhale really deeply, and that's exercise, it's lifting,
yep,
or high endurance, or letting cold water hit your really warm body. It'll just squeeze the air right out of you, your very first reaction. So what that does is allows your body to take in more oxygen. So it oxygenates your blood, mm-hmm, makes you more alert, more aware, wakes you up. It's a lot better than coffee. But it also gets the blood running. Your blood flows into your internal organs and around your internal organs, and it really increases the blood flow. So that helps just with overall function of your body. For you men that are concerned about your hair and skin, it's really good for your hair and skin for the same reason, the blood rush.
Mm-hmm.
So, your immune system, it helps bolster your immune system. Same reasons why all the oxygen and blood running through your system helps bolster your immune system like that. So those are some of the reasons why I do it. And I you notice the difference. But it also, if you're an outdoor lifter and you like to do things outdoors in the winter, what a great way to temper your body to be prepared for the colder weather. If you're a warm-bodied person and you're used to your heated rooms and your heated cars and everything, this would be quite a shock to your system. So I do recommend you start off in the shower slowly.
Because
your toes curl up and everything else kind of just wants to run up inside you and hide. So
yeah, definitely. Well, and if you do have any medical stuff, be very careful with stuff like that, because if you take and do that too quickly, you can cause some major things with yourself. And
yes,
I will tell you this. What I was doing was I would go to like a Home Depot and get those big, they look like, a lot of people use them to wash their car, these big plastic pails. And I mean, they're big. And this is what I learned from John Brookfield was this. I would basically fill those things up with cold water. Now, mind you, I did the whole shower deal, and I was confident that I could go out there and do it. And I love to do it in the snow for one reason. Yep. I walk out there barefoot. All right? Yep. Now, most people will say you're out of your mind. Now, I did it for quite a while. I'm not going to say the first two times it was easy. Let me tell you, when you're pouring a cold bucket of water over your head, and it might be zero out, you're going to definitely know you're alive at that point, and especially you're standing in snow, okay? But yeah. I will tell people this. I did that consecutively for most of the winter. I didn't even get a cold.
Yep.
Okay? It has major immune-enhancing, positive effects on you. But it's like anything. You have to temper yourself to go in, learn how to do it, et cetera, et cetera. Once you do, the benefits far outweigh the negatives, all right?
Yep.
A thing that I always wanted to do that I saw one time, which was really interesting, was there was this guy that had a pond, and, of course, the pond would freeze. And he mm-hmm. would take and he would get basically a chainsaw in that pond somehow that was frozen and cut a block of ice right out of it. And what they would do is they would jump in that thing. Now, you got to have balls to do something like that, because let me tell you, that is going to give you the shockwave of your life.
Uh-huh.
But it's like anything. If you take things in a very careful way and do things slowly, that's what we always talk about here. Small little steps equal to big things. If you want to create a better future, for anything you do, you take the small steps. Now, and I'll get right back to you, John. Sure. And then obviously we talked about, and we're gonna scatter this big time, preparing for winter training. As everyone knows, if you don't, John's in Buffalo, I'm in New York. Everybody's spouting we're going to have a brutally cold winter. I don't know how much snow. I could care less. I just don't want it to be 21 day, 65 the next day, and the ground doesn't even freeze. That's how you will get sick, because of all the stuff going around. If you got kids, you know, they're like a sick tank every time they come home, because all the other kids are sick in school, et cetera, et cetera. So add anything you want to the cold water, anything you feel. If not, here's the fun thing. We'll talk about winter training. I just love this. So take it away, John.
Okay, yeah. The water dousing, we talked about last time we were on, it definitely puts you in a different mentality. Mm-hmm. Yet, it's worth doing. Same thing with you, the same effects. I've noticed the immune benefits. Just the alertness, just there's a whole bunch of different benefits to it. And like you said, you have to start out slow and cautiously, especially if you have medical conditions, heart conditions especially, because it does, yep. It's going to be a shock to the body. But those that are healthy, I recommend doing it. Give it a shot. Start off in the shower, you know, then take it over to the, if you want the bathtub with ice cubes, do an ice bath. You know, they discuss the benefits of weight loss with doing this, because the brown fat. But that's, you know, there's something more to that. You can't just turn your shower on cold and for a few seconds jump out and expect benefits. You know, you got to be in there for a bit, and that's, you know, where the ice baths come. But you're not talking, you're not going to burn off a lot of fat doing that. Some of the studies say maybe 9 to 10 pounds over a year of consistently doing cold water showers. But, you know, work your way up. 3 minutes. The most I've done was a 5-minute ice shower. And
nice.
When you walk out, yep. Your skin, everything you feel tempered. Everything just feels stiff. But once the blood starts flowing again back into the limbs, you feel great. And you get this energy rush that you can't describe unless you've done it, because your body is literally just lit up. The nerve endings, the blood flowing, you feel great.
Yeah.
So that's why I do it. And again, we can segue into the outdoor training.
Well, let me, not to interrupt you, is there any, where would you suggest, I mean, to Google it? If people want more information, would you just go out and Google cold water training, or do you have a source that they could go to read up on it or listen to it?
Yeah, I started out with on the website alliancemartialarts.com, and
okay.
Then from there I've done other searches on Google. Yeah, cold water, there's different cold water dousing, cold water bathing, cold water therapy. They even have things now, I guess, where they inject some, I'm not even sure what it is, because I haven't done the research on it yet. They inject something really cold into your like you say, for muscle soreness, inject it into your muscles,
yep.
And that's supposed to be really effective. But when it comes to injecting anything into my body, I'm not quick to jump on that bandwagon.
Yep.
Plus, I think it's a cheap way out when you can man up and jump into it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of information out there now. So and there's some studies out there to validate and back up the things we've said.
Okay. That's good. And remember this, everybody, I know you wrote articles for Milo on it. You can probably go out and find the old article John Brookfield wrote about cold water dousing. Very interesting stuff, and it'll be definitely beneficial. That way you can go out and make your educated decision, and I hope you do try it. It's real interesting stuff, and I think it's good to test. As long as you're healthy, go out and test. It's a good thing for you. Okay, and that segues right into winter training. So let's break it down a little bit. Tell everybody what you like to do out in the winter, and what is your plan for, say, November through, let's say April.
Okay,
so lay it out, and I'll add when we're ready to go.
Sure. Yeah, you know, when I train outdoor year-round, so I have that temperance built up, and your body goes through different cycles each season. So you have to work through those cycles. Coming into winter right now, as the weather's slowly starting to get cold, I'm just starting with my tire lifts, yep. My rock lifting out in my yard. But eventually it's going to transition into, I live by the Reservoir Hill in, I'm in Niagara Falls. So I have Lewiston, there's a huge hill. And the other side of that hill are a bunch of rocks. If you've seen pictures or videos of me, seen working out there. But I have some rocks. What I do is I'll set those up on the hill. I'll throw them down the hill. And then I'll run down the hill, grab the rocks, carry them up the hill, or lift them, throw them right out in front of me, and slowly work my way up the hill. But, you know, getting into that point, though, just prepping yourself. Obviously, hands, you know, protecting your hands to keep them warm. I do some lifting out in my garage in the winter, but you don't want to grab steel with your warm hands. You're going to find that your skin sticks to the metal.
So
those are lessons you learn through experience. So you need to start prepping yourself for those things. So right now I do, even when it's cold out, I'll lift my stones barehanded. I do that almost year through, but as it gets colder, you're going to want to have gloves because your hands get numb really quick. As far as dressing, there's a couple different ways. If you're training, like say in your backyard, or you have a woods right out back, or your garage or whatever, you know that once you're done training, you can come back inside the house and it's warm. So you're dressing, the way you dress, you don't have to think about it too much. Just warm enough to get moving, and then once you're moving, you're obviously going to strip down because you're going to get really hot quickly, yep. Which is always an amazing effect. But when you're outdoors, I'm away from home training. I start with layers. You start off dressed warm. So I have like three or four layers, and I start off my training, my warm up with the heavy gear on until my body feels warm, and then I start to strip things down. By the end of my training, I'm usually down to a sweat hoodie and sweatpants and one brave time even shorts. But by the end of that session, you're sweaty. And if you have a long ways to go to get home or back to your car or whatever, you're going to want to have access to those layers again. And you want to make sure that they're in a spot where they didn't get wet, snow soaked. You're going to want to put those layers back on just to contain your body heat. Otherwise, you're going to find that your digits are going to get very cold. You can get frostbitten. You can go into shock. There's a lot of different things that can happen, and you need to be aware of that. But with that being said, don't let that stop you from trying it out, because it's, again, baby steps. Start off slow. Start off closer to home. But what this kind of training does for your body, it just like anything, if you do it in the right way, it's going to temper you, not just physically, but mentally, because you're going to go through all those negatives. When you do high-intensity training, your first thought when you first get going is, all right, I got this. And then you realize halfway through, like, oh, my gosh, am I going to make it through it?
Exactly.
And that's when you know you're in the right spot. That's when the battle really begins, because you could quit. You could say, all right, I did enough, and just stop. Or you can fight through those negative thoughts, and that's when you start – you know, you shut them down one after another, and you get to that point where now you're halfway through your workout, and suddenly you're like, you see the light. So now you gear up again, and you start pushing towards it. By the time you're done, you're exhausted. Well, same thing with outdoor training. When you start going and you feel that cold air, and you breathe in deeply, and that cold air hits your lungs, it's not a pretty feeling. It's actually quite awful. But when you work through those stages, and allow your body to adapt to it, and it makes a big difference in the way you go about just everyday life, because now you know you can make it through. You've taken it from, oh my gosh, this is exciting, to holy cow, what am I doing? I need to stop, to all right, we got this. And at the end, when you're exhausted, but you finish it out, feel proud at the end. So you're tempering yourself. You're tempering your physicality, your mentality, your spirituality. You're tempering yourself to deal with hard things in life. So the iron, the snow, the weather, all these things are factors in making you just a stronger, a better person, male or female. You know, it's in theory, it just makes you a better person, because you realize that you can push yourself through really hard, difficult, and sometimes scary situations, and make it out in one piece.
Yeah, that's a big thing because most people in the world lack self-confidence. And if you ever want something that's going to build self-confidence, get outdoors. Get out in the snow. Get out in the cold. Have minimal heat if you're in a garage. I mean, we've heard before, I've said, I've had bars stick to my throat when I front squat. I've had stones stick to my chest because I did something very foolish, most people would say, because they always said the stone lifters in Iceland in any weather would take their shirt off and lift the stone. But see, the one thing I didn't think of is you still sweat when it's cold out. And it was probably below zero then, and I had a stone stick to my chest.
Oh.
There's only one way to do it. You got to rip the thing right off your chest. That's how it does. I've got a light scar still on one side of my pec from that. You know, I wouldn't suggest anybody do that.
no, me either.
But, no, but you know something, it's like a live and learn thing all the time. And I don't profess to being timid outside because if you're timid, you're not going to be able to do anything. And I'm not suggesting anybody to do things like that. That's not my point here. And it's not trying to be a hero or anything like that, but I'm the kind of guy that likes to bend things, and if they don't break, I'm going to keep bending them right to their breaking point. Yeah. I found out long ago, if you want to be really, really good, even great, you've got to put demands on yourself that most people wouldn't. You've got to take yourself and push yourself into a direction most people wouldn't. And who knows what anybody's capable of. I think that most people shut down their capabilities years before they ever reach 40. And I think today it's even more noticeable and more factual because a lot of things today are more geared to more comfort. If things get a little tough, you know, it's all right to bail out, and it's not just weightlifting. It's a lot of things out there. I don't live by those rules. You know, I remember in Rocky Balboa, him talking about things like that, and he would tell people that he would squeeze a tennis ball till his hand felt like it was going to explode, and they'd be a little, why would you do it? Because what you do is you put yourself in a whole different place. And these things are what encompasses, in my opinion, winning. Winning, we were talking about this with Dr. Bob Weil on the show before John. Guy I like to listen to a lot, his name is Dennis Waitley. He was one of the earlier guys with any type of inspirational speaking. If you want to listen to something really good, listen to, I believe you can get it. It's all out on YouTube. I believe it's out on three recordings of The Psychology of Winning. Go out and listen to what this guy's got to say. It will probably turn you on your head. It is definitely what an achiever needs to hear besides what we talk about here. But my whole thing is I like to push the dial, and I do pay for it at times where it's a pull here, pull there, a tear here, a tear there. You don't have to do that. But when you're out chasing something real big, and we've been talking about this, our good friend Martin Janzik's here, who's probably one of the greatest stone lifters in the world who resides in Scotland. You know, we've been kicking around setting up a stone trip next June if we can work out all the logistics, and we'd meet in Iceland, and he would take us through the whole famous stones of Scotland, and then we'd go to Wales. And Martin and I know that would probably be a two-week trip because, you know, a lot of these things, depending on distance and all that. But, you know, if you're in Iceland and you got a shot, Scotland's not that far away. You jump on a plane and go there rather than go home and come back in 2 months. I can't see doing that. Plus, you're never going to find a trip like that. That'll be a trip of a lifetime, you know, something like that. But my whole point is this, you know, good things happen if you stay persistent. I've had some shoulder stuff for the last 8 months. working diligently around it, never had anything done and doing what I could do to fix this thing with limited income, but you always find a way. And when you got friends like Don Gifardino, you got Steve Cotter, you got Paul Becker, you've got Iron Man magazine from the late 60s, and I'm talking Perry Rader, Chris Melton. When you got people like that sending you things and lending information and wanting to see you succeed, well, yesterday was the first day comfortably in a long time I hadn't squatted dead stop with my hands around a Buffalo bar in 6 months. I crushed a 405 with no issues with shoulders at all. Nice. There you go. So see, no one, there's nothing that's hopeless. Nothing's unstoppable. But what you have to do is you have to keep building. And yep. I can't stress the mental end of things that this encompassed me with. Obviously, if anybody's been listening, thanks to our good friend John McKean, the tri-quad dead stop squat with no arms is phenomenal. I've already nailed over 500 pounds with it. And I'm going to continue with that and just come in slowly with the arms attached to the bar again and see what we can do. I might even end up doing just three-quarter squats with it, you know, just come right off the top, click it and put it down. I don't know yet, but I was so excited and still am from yesterday that I conquered that son of a bitch. But it was this. I have good people here that want to see me succeed, and I want them to succeed, and they offered and lent and sent me things to do this. And I thank all those gentlemen and obviously the great Perry Rader. If I didn't find that article, I think that lent big. Paul Becker built some things for me electronically that he doesn't even sell. Big assets, man. And you can't go through life without good people around you, and you need them to circle your wagon. So,
yeah.
Colt, I can't, you know, I trained again yesterday. It was cool. But cold weather, and I'll send it right back to you, John, is this. I just think that creates the best you can be. It's too damn hard to go out there and try to be half-assed. Now, you can go into a climate-controlled gym, and you can be half-assed any day of the week you want, and you can still walk out of there. You go out there and try something like that, you're going to fail miserably, plus you're going to have all those elements to be fighting, too. See, I don't think people understand one thing. Training is hard enough, and we all love it, enjoy it, and we wouldn't be doing it and punishing ourselves this way, all right? But when you start adding cold, and I mean, you know, you walk into my garage and you can't even touch the bars, they're so friggin' cold, all right? You add that in, and, you know, it takes everybody a little while to get going when it's warm out, but you add 10 degrees, you know, and you're like, whoa. The biggest thing I can say is this. This is the kind of stuff that's going to separate the men from the boys, because here's the biggest thing of all. You've got to really want to go out and do that. You've got to want to go out and stand in 10-degree weather. You've got to want to walk out in snowstorms with stones like we've done, where you can barely see in front of you, where it'll be up to the mid-thigh or the up to your knees, or it'll be a little below in your shins. And you know that it's powder, so we've gone forward and dumped the stones. I mean, all we got is spotlights at 8 o'clock at night out there when it's just insane. Why? Because I just like to test myself, and it's a lot of fun to get out there and see if you can wrap yourself around that. So when you add that other ingredient, you know, when we're talking about going away to famous places and lifting stones, see, all that stuff has mentally prepared you for the worst of the worst. I don't care if you even get hurt. It's not going to feel good, and you're going to have to deal with that, but you're going to deal with every situation that much better. And I just feel at this point it's very critical with a lot of people right now to maybe get out there and do things. You don't have to lift stones. Lift the sandbag. Don't be afraid to do a few things that are going to test you and could literally put you on your ass, because I'm telling you right now, believe it, take it from a guy that's been doing it for a long time. What's going to end up happening is you're going to love this stuff. You're going to relish it, and I'm telling you right now, it's in your DNA. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things. One, there's your false bravado or machismo or whatever you want to call it, that you can put out there an image of you'll do anything, you're a badass and all that. But that stuff goes all out the window when you really test something like this, because your false bravado only carries you so far. At some point, you have to really be committed to carry it through. So, you know, I just think there's not many things in life that you can try to test your limits to see how you would react in a bad circumstance. And you know, you can only go so far. Obviously, you don't want to come home damaged. But training like this, you want to see what your limits are and what you're mentally capable of if something goes a little bad. You know, you're outdoors, you know, something happens, you've got to man up. You can't – there's not a time to quit. There's not a time to be timid. That's a time to only be able to think your way out of a circumstance. And I'm not an outdoor survivalist by any means, but I know I like to push my limits. I like to see where I'm at and how I'm going to come out of it. So those kind of things help with that mentality. You know, when things go wrong, say you do get injured when you're out there, when you're lifting, you drop the rock on your foot and there's nobody else around.
Yeah.
You have to be able to have that mentality of I'm going to get my ass out of there anyways. I have what it takes. I've been through it. I've tempered my body. I know what my limits are. I'm going to get myself out of there. Or if you have that false bravado going and then you get hurt and then everything goes out the window, that might be your breaking point. That could be the point where you give up. And now you're not in a good place because there's nobody else out there to help you but yourself. So those are the kind of mentalities I like to go into it with, the reasons why I do it, just to know your limits, know what you're capable of, because when things do go bad or if things go bad, you at least have some kind – I mean, you can never fully prepare yourself for it, but at least you have some kind of litmus to know where you're at and how far you can push your body before it's going to stop being able to – before you stop. So I guess that's one of the things about outdoor training that excites me a lot. It's a test. Now, let's face it. It's not look at me, look what I can do, because quite frankly, there's nobody out there seeing me do it. And
right.
I'm not bringing a camera with me. Once in a while I do, so I can post something on Facebook, but I'm not doing it for anybody but myself.
Yep.
You know, and through that, I'm able to impart some of that stuff on other people that really want to know, not just look what I did. I dare you to try it. And that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Look what I did. This is how I did it. You know, if you want to give it a shot, come, let's give it a shot. Let's work on this together. So I think it takes away ego, because you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it to show off. You're not doing it to, there's not bragging rights here. You could earn them, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is just to become stronger, to be tempered, to know your limits, to know, you know, I don't know, just know yourself, because there comes a point, and I say this with, you know, it does tie into faith. You know, everything for me stems back to faith. And I see people without faith, and when they go through a trial, you can watch them break. You can see the difference at a funeral, somebody that has faith and beliefs and somebody that doesn't. You can feel the difference, and not that people don't feel bad or they're hurting inside. They deal with it different because they have the faith to know that there's more to life than what we see.
Yeah.
So that comes back with you know, the training. At some point, you have to know your limits. You have to know where how far you can go before you have to fall back on faith to keep pushing it through, or before you break. And I'd rather be a person that is tempered like a fine medieval sword that I know I can bend, and I can bend that tip all the way to the hilt of the sword and release it. I'm going to bend back true. And why? Because I've tempered like a proper steel, a sword. It's tempered properly. You're going to have that bend. You could flip your life all the way back on itself, but you know at some point you're going to return true again. You're not going to be broken.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that to me is the heart of it. You know, you don't want to be a person that's going to break. And nobody 100% knows your limits, but you're never going to fully know until you go through it. But there's certain things in life that you can do to kind of at least prepare yourself, or at least put yourself in a mentality where you've come to the end of yourself. You know, I've been out in the woods working out where I was just exhausted, and you get to that point where you literally start getting nervous because you either push too far and you have to get yourself back out. But you know, you could sit and break, or you can realize you got yourself in. You can climb your way back out, and through, you know, through that faith, there's an end to that trial. So, I just, you know, we've talked about it before, Eric, so many times of just how you've got to know yourself, and you've got to know a God beyond yourself. You have to know that, because everybody has a breaking point.
Yeah.
And after that breaking point, what is there? You know.
Well, you got to go through life, in my opinion, with a lot of blind faith, and believing in something greater than yourself is always going to have a good positive effect on you. You know, I mean, I know people love to name anything they want with it. Well, that's your call. But to prepare for the other things in life, you're going to need to do something that's going to give you a test, that's going to knock you down, that's going to make you get back up, or you go the other way. And I don't know how anybody could do that, is they quit. And failure is part of winner, okay? Failure, winner, failure, winner. If you're afraid of failure, you're not going to get anywhere in life. And if you choose to believe in God, a higher power, whatever you want to call it, because I know in this country now it's 10 billion different things, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? I know, you know, my family, they're all Catholic, very religious, and I know that I'm sure it's gotten my mom especially through a lot of hard scrapes, but they're not people that are shoving it in your face, all right? The thing is this, if you feel you need to do things like that, you know, I still like going to church and lighting a candle. I think that's one of the best things you could ever do. That's it. And you say whatever you want to say, and you leave, all right? But I will tell you this, that, like when we talk about spirit, well, spirit can be anything like that. That could be religious, that could be what you read and believe, how you interpret this, that, and the other thing. But the main thing is, the body's just not one unit. It's not just your head. It's not just your heart. It's not just your soul. And I equate that with lifting totally, all right? Yep. When you leave the gym, you've left the gym, but you haven't, all right? Because there's no way that what you've done for the last, say, decade or two is not engraved basically in your bloodstream, in your skin, in your soul, in your mind. That's where people screw up. That's why a lot of people drop out of training, because they don't understand the whole philosophy of what it's about. And that's what we're trying to do, is educate people on this. And I'm telling you right now, if you can learn that the unit is one whole unit, and they're, look, I gave you the analogy last week. One thing that always inspired me about going to Iceland, besides Steve Jack's DVD that I've watched and I still watch every day, and for everybody out there that's written me about Steve is going to be on the show in December, and I couldn't be happier. We're going to take some time off, but Steve is a class act, and he's had some things going on, and I can't get into that, but he's coming on here. He got a hold of me yesterday, and he couldn't be happier. And for everybody that loves Steve Jack, you're going to hear quite a show in December. But getting back to Iceland, one thing that always, always made me think about it in so many different ways besides the video was I always wondered how many people had touched that stone, how many had lifted that and got around that sheep pen, you know, and how many people got claimed like Bill Crawford and I. It's a very interesting thing to think about. And it really, really gets you all fired up, because you're like, you know, Snorri Bjornsson, he was a priest. How did he get his flock to really follow him, fear him, whatever they'd call? He learned how to take and lift that stone. How? Well, he would put his goats on one side, and he'd block the other side with the ones that he had milked with the Husafell stone. Now, You'd have to see this place to believe it. And he built that whole pen by hand, and these stones are absolutely monstrous. That are, they're just laid on top of one another. There's no mortar, no nothing. The ingenuity of this guy to do that is just absolutely spectacular. They say you shouldn't stay in the middle of them. See, it's split right down the middle, okay? But I got news for you. When we go next year, I'm going to sleep in there that night and let all the demons and ghosts get me. I can't wait to face off with them. I want to go in an area where you're not supposed to go, and I'm going to sleep in that sheep pen that night. Those are all intriguing things. Things that motivate you in different ways. Things that make you think differently from masses out there. Things that make you a leader. Total leader. Things that make, you know, they love to, you know, you always hear, well, this person is accomplished in this, that, and the other thing. I want to be accomplished and known for a legacy of doing something a little bit different, having something a little bit different, talking about things that are a little bit different, but most of all, offering everybody out there a solution to their problem, or maybe they do feel a little down and out and they need to listen to something that's going to be positive, because I'm never going to go the negative route with anything, because you get too much of that. And that's one of the reasons why I started M&M, was because I couldn't even listen to radio anymore. Mm-hmm. All right, I could no longer do that because everything was a handicap. And if you're going to live like that, you are going to be handicapped. I had a brother and still do. We lost Jimmy many years ago. I saw what handicaps are. But he never let that happen to him, man. He was mentally sound, and he was everywhere with us. Thank God for my parents. They wouldn't give him up. A lot of people would have probably given him up. Too much to take care of. They would never do that. And I know it put him through hell every day. I know that, to watch your son disintegrate right in front of you every day. All right? So when people say things to me, and a lot of times I'll get the rap where you're kind of cold about things. Well, grow up in this type of environment where you get to really see what suffering truly is, mm-hmm. what you have to do every day, the determination you have to live, to go on. Jimmy could have given up. He wasn't like that, man. He wouldn't do it. And as I always say with everything, if he wasn't in a wheelchair, you would never know any different than him with the other kids. And those things mark you. They put a permanent brand in your brain. I don't care who you are, when you're around it, and I don't mean in a negative way. I was honored to be around him, because that guy taught me more than anybody will. And if there was ever a hero here, that's why Motivation and FBC are dedicated to Jim. There's nobody that I could look up to more. I mean, lessons learned even as a young kid are lessons that I carry with me now as an adult, and I'll carry it to the day they stick me in the ground, all right? So when we talk about outside work, when we talk about role models, when we talk about people we look up to, when we talk about those times that things look so bleak in your life, but there's always something when you build that internal power, that mental strength, that knock down and get back up attitude. This all comes from, obviously, your beliefs. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling people right now, and I'll stress this to the day we're not on anymore, get into physical strength. I know everybody calls it physical culture, and it's kind of a word that is a little bit beaten into the ground for me, but there is a lot of merit to that. If you engage with this type of stuff, and I mean really engage your heart into it, I promise you, and I mean this, you will do anything you want to do. It's not going to happen in a week. It might not happen for 4 years, but you're going to have the ability and the tenacity to do everything you've ever wanted. And so what if it's not what, you know, you thought it would be? It gives you the ability to go to something else if you feel there's something else that definitely needs your attention. And who knows? I mean, you could come up with the next biggest product. You could come up with the next book. Or how about this? Maybe you could be the kindest guy or gal in your neighborhood that the kids and even the adults look up to because you're so physically strong and mentally sound. Those are the things that matter. Those are the things that are going to carry you through life. And if you can't take your passion and give it to somebody else, then there's no point of doing it. You know, we talk here, I love lifting big things, but you know what? My health is paramount over lifting, because if I don't have my health, I can't lift. If I don't have my health, I can't help my family. I can't be a good boyfriend to my girlfriend. Can't do any of that stuff, right? So always remember, health is paramount, and the rest you build upon through your health. John, finish it up, summarize, take your time, anything you want, anything you want to give out, and I'll give my stuff, and if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, just going, you know, what we're kind of summing up what we've been saying, you know, physical training, it carries over into everything, and just gives you that stick-it-to-itiveness, because you want to see it to the end, and that there's carryover in that, and I had a train of thought, Eric, and it just went straight out the window, but it's going to come back. I just, you know, for me, I do it for my kids. I also do it for myself. You know, your health, that's your first wealth. Without that, like you were saying, nothing else matters. You can be the wealthiest person in the world. You can spend your whole life trying to get wealthy. Then once you get wealthy, you realize your health is crap, and all the money in the world isn't going to bring your health back. And that, you know, you need to take care of yourself. No matter what your dreams are, no matter what your goals are, no matter how wealthy you wish to be, you need to take care of your health first so that you can actually, when you get to the point where you're wealthy, you can enjoy it.
So
as far as, you know, for my kids, you know, they see me here. I turned 50 in September, and I'm still lifting like I've been in my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, you know, all those ages when people say, you're getting too old, you're getting too old. Well, I can't wait to hear the same thing in my 60s, my 70s, my 80s, my 90s.
Yep.
You know, you're getting too old, you're going to hurt yourself. I hear it all the time. And, you know, when I first started hearing it, it would frustrate me. Now I understand that a lot of people just, they've never wired themselves to see beyond their aches and pains. You know, in life, you're going to have pain. You're going to have pain physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You're going to have pain. But the way I look at it, I can either allow myself to go into pain because my body's falling apart, I'm decaying, I'm, you know, breaking apart, or I can have the pain of watching my body get built stronger, my emotions, my spirit, my mentality growing stronger. There's going to be growing pains in that. But at the end of that, there's something much better than living with the pain of defeat and agony and decay and just watching everything fall apart. So I want my kids to understand as they grow older, you don't give up. You don't quit. Age isn't a limiting factor. There are obviously certain things you have to learn to work with within your age. Your hormones change. You have to make sure your nutrition's up. There's certain aspects you need to make changes to, but it doesn't mean you stop because, I got hurt. I've had so many injuries that for some people, that was it for them.
You know,
you say that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. I've hurt my back doing stupid things, you know, not paying attention to form because the excitement of the lift took over. And I could have quit there and said, I'm not going to deadlift anymore. I hurt my back. It set me back 6, 7, 8 months, but there's things you can do to build yourself back up, or you can let it just tear you down. And I want my kids to see, and other people in my circle of influence to see, no, you don't quit just because things get tough, just because you got hurt, just because you're gun shy. You build yourself back up. I watch my wife and everything she's been going through with her brain injury.
Sure.
And now you saw the pictures about with her hand. You know, she could easily quit. She could easily let all that stuff just crush her. But, you know, she has a strong faith, and she's got that. You've spoken with her. She's got that strong inner fortitude. you know, and which derives from her faith. And I watch everything she goes through every day. And she could quit. You know, she's an inspiration to me, you know, and to the kids. Whether the kids realize it or not now, they will when they're older. It's inspiring to watch people go through the process of building themselves up, even through and during the storms of adversity and things that could break you. So, you know, to me, that's where, you know, bring it back to the outdoor training. That's, it all comes back to that, building and building upon myself each step of the way. And not just what I call, you know, well, stupid bravado, just stupidity. It's real. It's not something I do to show off. There's a purpose behind it, and there's a test and a structure. And my legacy for my kid, I don't care if I carry on beyond my kids. I want my kids to see the legacy so they can carry it on to their kids. Of no matter how tough life gets, no matter how tough heavy the weights get, no matter if you get injured, you get hurt, something, you know, crazy freak accident strikes you down. It's not, you don't break, you bend,
yeah.
but you bend back true and you keep pushing because there's more to it. You can't live a life of woe with me. And, you know, we've talked about that before, society and everything, and how boys are nowadays. It's different. Now there's scientific evidence to back it up. I don't want my sons to be that. I don't want my girls to be that. There's a lot more to physical training. There's a lot more to outdoor training and is moving the iron than just getting physically strong. There's a whole legacy. There's a whole society that needs it. And you know, it's not upon my shoulders alone. There's still a bunch of us out there, Eric and, you know, you and Bud Jeffries, Peter yep. Ragnar. I could throw out names. There's so many names, so many, this family, this brotherhood that we've created on Facebook. We seem to run the same circles. We know the same people. These are the people that, you know, are not letting go and giving in to the softness that society is becoming. And to me, we are the people that the kids are watching, the kids that want to be more. They don't want to give in to being soft or weaker. And at some point, there'll be a resurgence. You know, life goes through these cycles. And hopefully the foundation, the groundwork that we're laying down by being these men of strength, being these women of strength, laying a foundation for the generation. You know, the liberal mindset, the soft mindset is go after the children.
Right.
You know, teach the children, because you go after the children, that'll establish, you know, when they get older, they'll follow in that way. And that's what's happening. All the softness is finally, it leaks so much into our kid that it's just expected. You know, and I could have been one of those kids. There was a point in my life where I was a soft man, and I a soft kid in between manhood and childhood. And I could have let that just overcome me, but I've had several strong male figures come into my life, and,
yep.
and I was able to emulate. And, you know, we don't know who we're influencing. I wish to be one of those strong men for somebody. At some point, whether I know I'm affecting somebody or not, they're going to look back, and some of the people that have affected me, they may not know they ever affected me the way they have.
Right.
And if I see them again, they sure will know. But it's that, you know, like I said, it goes much deeper for me than just the iron. Just those are all tools. You know, the iron's a tool, the rocks are a tool, the kettlebells are a tool, the maces, the sledgehammers, or whatever. They're all just tools, but they're tools. They're a means to an end, and it doesn't matter which one you choose or if you choose all of them. The end is to be something more, not for yourself, but, you know, we don't live in this isolated world. We're not just our own island. We the things that we do in life affect everybody around us, and because everybody around us is affected, they affect everybody around them. And at some point, I hope that there's a generation of boys and girls coming up and seeing this and embracing the strength to carry on whatever their beliefs politically, whatever, when they get older. I'd rather see a society built on strength than this really soft, weak culture that I see before us. I see it's sad, and it does. It breaks my heart watching what's going on with America and in other countries at this point. Yep. We're breaking, and I want to see us not break. I want to see us bend. I want to see us come back strong again, and that starts with our kids. So as a man of strength, you influence the kids and the people in your life, and you start with the youth. Work with kids because they're the next generation coming up. They're the ones that when we're old, they're going to be in charge of the country. You want people of strength, but not just of strength. You want people of strength and compassion. Because that's, to me, that's the backbone of what made America strong to begin with. Yep. Strength and compassion, not just strength, because that goes down a whole different road that can become tyrannical. We need both.
Yep.
And that's, so I guess in closing, that's what I want to say. Us people of strength, we're not just affecting ourselves. It's not just about us. It's affecting everybody around us and the kids around us. So be that influence. Step up and be the man, be the woman that is leading from the front for our kids and for our country's sake. So that's what I'll close with, Eric.
Okay.
You guys can find me on Facebook again, Iron Cross Training and Fitness. I put posts on there, or just my regular Facebook page, which I seem to be focusing more on that lately. John Rockman Johnson. And then again, I have a nutrition page that's based on nutrition plan that I use, Moringa Lifestyle, or our website. I do have a website, Eric. It's for the nutrition that my wife and I use. It's johnandcarolyn.myzeta.com. So that's that. Thanks okay. a lot for having me. I really had a good time. This show, it means a lot to me, above and beyond. You're getting my words out there. Eric, you've created something fantastic.
Thanks, man.
I absolutely love being a part of it. I'm glad that we connected on Facebook, and the circle of people that surround you and that I'm involved with. I love these people. I love what they bring to me, and I love what they bring to other people. The stuff that's on Facebook or on everybody's web pages, it's inspiring. And I think men like us keep stepping up and putting this stuff out there, it's going to have a huge effect on people.
It is now, John, because I'm getting so much stuff from different people, you know, whether they've started back training after 10, 20 years, going through divorces, kids getting now into the proper way of training, and a lot of people that are just growing off the mental game here. I've said this from the beginning. We are going to be the biggest repository of everything out there known to anyone, and it's growing and building every day. You know, patience is always paramount, but we are in a stride now where there's so many things going on. I was telling a lot of people we're probably not going to be doing a lot of shows in December, mainly because we're setting everything up for 2017 to be highly profitable, because – you know, I know a lot of people don't want to talk about money and things of that nature, but it costs a lot of money to run this show every month, all right? Mm-hmm. And this is my living. This is my livelihood. And when we talk about going to Iceland, when we talk about going to Scotland, when we talk about putting out products, when we talk about, you know, getting everybody together, might be a handful of us, and we end up going to wherever in the United States, and we speak just about what John is referring to. We are a revolution, and anybody that's been with me or has been following M&M for the last 2 years has got to see the growth of what's happening. Look at the people that are coming on here, the new people. I mean, the talent base is unbelievable. I just got a message from John Haas, who's a good friend of Rick Brown, who's going to be coming on here. We've got a couple new MDs, medical doctors coming on that are in all the sports medicine. You know, you listen to anything from Gary Reinl, unbelievable. We are making strides that I never thought in 2 years. Well, we've been up for three, but the show's just celebrated 2 years in September. I love books. I've got one about the mental game and process, but that could be a whole nother year. I mean, there's other things right now that have to come first. But I still think the spoken word is the most powerful word. And if I'm going by what people say about me with the show, vocally, personality-wise, we've scored 100% or better here. And I'm not saying it. I'm saying what people have told me. And we're in negotiations right now with a radio station. I'll announce it in Florida. This show could be literally heard on a live radio station. It all depends the logistics of it and a lot of things that go into this. So it could be it's a 50-50 right now. But as everyone, if you know, I don't share a lot of that stuff because that's business stuff and I don't like saying it. And then you'll hear, well, you said you're going to be on this. I just want to make this clear to everybody. There is nothing signed. But to think that being up for 2 years, we're already getting radio stations noticing us, that's a big thing. And you know what that means? When John talks about getting this out there to everybody, you know, capturing people that maybe are on the fringe of falling off the cliff, or a kid that's getting, you know, and I don't like all that bullying crap. I think it's used way too much. But let's talk about a kid that maybe is getting the shit beat out of him every day for no reason. Well, I don't think we've got to create bullies here, but I would want my son, my daughter, or any of my friends associated with our family here, if someone's doing that to you, you need to be taught how to defend yourself, how to be stronger, because once you lay one of those cowards out, that's the end of it. So we are in a position now, and I couldn't be happier. A lot of work, a lot of pressure, but this is what I've owned up to. This is what I've chosen in my life. I've chosen a career path where I want to be out there among everybody. And I've never been shy with people. And as everybody can tell, I can pretty much talk to anybody. And that's no bull. That's that's a gift. All right. And I'm going to take that gift and I'm going to use it so we can change. I don't like using things like change the world, but we got an opportunity to change a lot of minds. And minds and hearts are what's going to spread this fire totally. So I'll leave it at that. John, is there anything else you want to get out?
No, just really, really thankful for this time, Eric. And, you know, I'm just really thankful that I've been able to come on this show several times over already. And share my thoughts and everything. So
you're always welcome here. You've got a good heart, and I know you're in the right spot. And that's what we've created here. And this is why we are where we are. This didn't happen by accident. Maybe all the people and the players that are on here, because I'm asked that all the time. How did you get all these different people on your show? It just happened, man. It was just the way the electricity flows here. And it's a lot of work. I know people probably know. There's a lot of work to get ready just to even get John on the show. I mean, he'll tell you, you got to contact, you got to schedule, I got to build a schedule. There's a lot of things here. But this is very enjoyable, even at the worst points, because there's nothing else I'd rather do. So this is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and look at the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, our 30-day ebook too, where you can really get acclimated with some great training, strength times power equals success, and the winner's circle, all out there. Everything is free right now. Take advantage of it. All we need is your email address. Also, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and just look at the shows I've done with John, Bud Jeffries, Bill Hinburn, Mike Bruce, Will Dinwiddie. I mean, I can go on forever. You know, Rachel Pyron. Go out and look at that. Ken Nowicki. I mean, we did a great show. It went up last week with Danielle Curry. She is an awesome girl. We got the best, strongest women on here of anybody, and we don't shy away from any of that stuff. I've said before, everyone is welcome at my table. That's the way it is. Also, too, go out to, iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. Also, you know, we are streaming and we are looking right now. It's in the process. We are going to be doing a best of streaming Motivation Muscle. So wait till you see that. You know, we're also in many directories like Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Aha. If you have a new car, now you have the capabilities for podcasting. If you go out to AHA, you'll find us in the directory. Put it in your car. I tell you one thing, you'll be so enthused, you'll drive off the road laughing. It's that damn good. So think about that. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like John and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them some inspiration, some good words, man. Five words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone. And I always say this with everything I write, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. I live by those three words. They've got me out of more scrapes than you could ever imagine. Also, too, don't let we're never going to let anybody clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's listened to Eminem from the beginning and who's a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. That's it, man, and we thank you for that. Manliness we live by. Also, Frank Klein, who was my greatest college professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor, we lost 2 years ago to cancer. Keep smiling. He'd walk everybody to the door. I dare you say that to yourself and not smile. He was an awesome guy who I owe a great debt to because he was behind me with this all the way, and I miss our Fridays, man, like you wouldn't believe. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 or more of your friends because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the thing right in. Join our family. Be part of this revolution. This is huge, and it's just going to get bigger year after year. Come on in and be part of us. We want you here. John, thank you for being on, sir.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. God bless everybody out there.
Yes, sir. We do. We love having you on. So for John the Rock Man Johnson, go out and look at his stuff, man. It's great outdoor stuff. It will enthuse you, and if you live in our climate, it'll make you even happier to go out and possibly, well, I say no possiblys, go out and try it. Go out and give it everything you got. If you do that, no matter what you come up with, you'll always know you gave your best. So, for John Johnson, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll get John on. Now, I don't know about next month, but if not, he'll be on in January 2017. We've got to look at a bunch of stuff because of all the stuff going on here. But as I said, we'll get him on as soon as we can. And believe it or not, 8 weeks, we're already in January, so it's not that far. So everybody, remember what I always say. You all have greatness in you. You got to go out and explore it. You got to go out and take a chance on yourself. You know, most people take chances on stuff that doesn't even matter. Go out and reward yourself. Go out and be something. Hey, everybody, have a great week, and we will talk to you soon, and thanks for listening. Be a leader, not a follower. Think about that all the time. And go out and listen to Dennis Waitley. You want to hear some great stuff about the psychology of winning? Check it out. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.